You have some tough criteria for players to make it on your team. For those who haven't picked up the book yet, run down what the criteria is for somebody to make it on to your ultimate team, your team.
If you're a starting pitcher or a position player, you have to have 10 good years. Most of these guys have more than 10 good years. But I just wanted to try to take the 10 best to get at the essence of the player in his prime. For relief pitchers, I just used 8 years because they tend to have shorter careers. Some of them, like Lee Smith and John Franco, had 15 or 18 good years, but most of the relief pitchers had shorter careers, so I shortened the criteria to 8 years.
A few of the players that you might expect to be here don't quite make it for your squad, like Cal Ripken Jr. or Carlton Fisk, because they had some great years, but not consecutively great years, as you point out. And it seems that sometimes a team can influence a player's performance as much as the player is great himself. It says something about a player's abilities, I think, that they've shined on crummy teams maybe sometimes, but when your team isn't assisting you, you got to say it's tough, I guess.
Yeah, and that hurt Nolan Ryan as well. Nolan Ryan made it on the second team. He may have made it on the first team had he been playing for all the same teams Roger Clemens played for, but Roger's lifetime winning percentage is much higher than Nolan's. But Nolan played for the Mets when they didn't have very good hitting, and then he played for the Angels when they weren't a very good team. He played with the Astros, and there were some good teams, but they were generally pitching and defense and speed teams, so he never really pitched very much with teams that scored a lot of runs, and it shows up in the winning percentage.
We were talking before our interview today with a staff member, and we were talking about the current state of the Astros right now and saying that you got to have the hits there, you got to have the offense in order to help the pitcher out as well.
It's a combination of things, and that's what I really tried to get at in this book, because if you just look at a player's batting average, home runs and RBIs and runs scored, you may really miss a lot of the things that are very important to in great ball players, which is fielding and base running, speed in general, just the ability to, you know, move from first to third on a single or score on a double, and also intangible things such as personality, character, you know, the kind of example a guy sets or whether he has leadership qualities. All these things are beyond anything you can quantify in statistics, but they all go into the value of a player.
Well, I think one of the things that makes your book good for both intensive fans and the average fan alike is that you do go into explaining why a particular position is important, what their role is on the team, and how the players that you're picking fit into that role best, and, as you mentioned, the intangibles that they bring to a position, whether or not a guy was good at bringing up the rookies on a team, whether the attitude that they brought to the game as well.
All those things are important, and it is the whole picture that I was looking at, and I think what you get if you read the book is, how would a professional manager or general manager go about putting together a team? So it's not like if you're in a rotisserie league or a fantasy league, and you look at the offensive numbers and you say, I get so much for a home run, so much for an RBI, so much for, you know, physical events that occur, and you get points, and you win or lose based basically just on certain statistics. And the same with the pitcher strikeouts and hits per inning or whatever they use, you're not really getting at the whole player. What you're getting is what is tabulated as a statistic, and that is not always what a manager or a general manager would be looking for. Most of the time it is. I mean, there's maybe a 90% correlation, but it's still not the whole picture.
And the statistics that you do bring in sometimes are not just the hard ones like runs, hits, home runs, etc. You really place an emphasis on runs per plate appearance and slugging percentage and these things that I guess the average fan is not really they know about the hits and, you know, the home runs, but
well,
not so much about these other deeper statistics that sometimes combine things together.
Well, that's right. I mean, one of the great examples of that, and I've had a lot of people say, how can you have an all-time team and not have Pete Rose on it? And I say, well, you know, Pete hit over 300, and he walked quite a bit, but his on-base percentage was still well below a lot of the people that played corner positions. And he was a third baseman, then a left fielder, then a right fielder, then a first baseman. He played 1 year, his rookie year, at second base. His slugging average was about maybe 410 or 420, mm-hmm. But if you look at Mike Schmidt and Eddie Matthews and George Brett and Frank Robinson, Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, Bagwell, McCovey, Stargell, all the guys that played the same positions that Pete played, they all have slugging averages of 550 or 600. They're just much more productive offensively.
Well, your book, My Team, of course, is like an ultimate fantasy baseball team, and it's made up of players you've observed and faced throughout your career. And I was wondering if you could tell me what you've learned about the game as a pitcher, then as a broadcaster, and as your time as a manager of the Houston Astros.
Well, one thing I learned was that Connie Mack was not exaggerating very much when, at age 83 or something like that, he said, every day I learn something more about this game. I think sometimes the players feel like the coaches and managers don't really know what it's like to play because they're so old they can't remember, and that game they played is different than what we're playing today. But the fact of the matter is that if you keep watching games after you finish playing, you learn things that you didn't know when you were playing. And depending on how long you watch closely, you know, you're going to keep on learning. I learned things just writing this book because in some instances I called guys I knew or had played with or coached with and said, what about this guy? You know, is he a good guy on the team? Well, yeah, but he could do this, but he couldn't go to his left. And they told me some things that made me think about aspects of the game that I hadn't thought about that much. So, I mean, you're always learning new things, and I think in that sense the sport is probably unique.
Yeah, it's a very intricate game. Yeah, as you find out, the more you watch it, the more you learn about it. How is it different today than it was 40 years ago when you started pitching in 64?
Well, it's a lot different. When I started pitching, it was a pitcher's game. The games were generally low scoring, and the league ERA in any given year was usually about 3.5 or maybe even a little lower. Now it's about 4.5, so it's a much higher scoring game now. Back then there was a lot more bunting and hitting and run and stealing bases and trying to scratch out a run or two. Now it's basically stand back and hit home runs.
Do you think that the kind of emphasis on power now, does that have anything to do with what may or may not be a steroids issue in baseball at all? Do you?
Well, I don't think there's any question that steroids have been an issue in baseball for a while now. I actually think the home run hitting is more due to a lack of depth in the pitching ranks than it is to weightlifting or steroids or anything like that. I do think that there is a greater depth of hitting now than there was when I played, and there are more shortstops, second basemen, catchers, and center fielders who hit home runs now, and those were always the defensive positions, and you didn't find too many good hitters at those positions years ago. Now it seems like everyone can hit a home run, but the theory of the game has changed too, because most of the guys when I was playing used bats that weighed anywhere from 34 to 38 ounces, and now they mostly use bats that weigh anywhere from 30 to 32 ounces. So it's almost like golf clubs. You know, when you start using the titanium, the club itself is lighter. You get more club speed, and they get more bat speed. But the surface that the ball hits is just as hard. So you end up getting more power. And so I think, you know, the home run is a gaudy statistic. And if you can hit them, you can make a lot of money. And these guys have agents and strength coaches, and they have programs they get on in the winter, and a lot of what they do is designed to make them stronger, improve their bat speed, and give them a chance to hit more home runs and make more money. It's hard to make a lot of money bunting and hitting and running,
right,
or drawing a walk. You know, I mean, they try to do the things that are going to have the biggest impact on the team, and I don't think that's wrong. That's just the way the game has evolved, but it's a little different game now than it used to be.
I found it interesting that in a recent Texas Monthly interview where you were sitting with Nolan Ryan, and that when the interviewer asked a question about steroids, you brought up the question of context and illustrating that there have always been statistical anomalies, I guess, maybe throughout the history of the game.
There's no question. I mean, if you want to compare Honus Wagner, who was probably the greatest player of his time but played mostly between 1900 and 1915, with A-Rod, for example, two shortstops. Well, you know, the guy that led the league in home runs when Honus Wagner was playing hit 10. You know, maybe a little less, maybe a few more, but nobody hit 20. So you know, when you don't know those things, I don't think you know enough to make a judgment. But you can put the steroid issue, the World War II, and a lot of the great players were overseas, the dead ball era. If you know the history of the sport, you know the context in which certain records were set, certain players played, and you can sort of interpolate and guess what things were like and what these players were like.
Even if steroid use just creates a statistical anomaly, though, if somebody like Barry Bonds were to be, I guess, forced to admit in under oath that he had used steroids, should he be banned from the game like Pete Rose was for betting on baseball?
Well, that's not my decision to make, and I'm glad it's not, because it's, you know, I could probably pose arguments on both sides of that. You know, when we had an alumni event last summer, I was talking to some of the guys about the steroid issue, and almost every single one of them, as they all chimed in, said, well, you know, if the other guy was taking it, I'd take it too. I mean, you have to make a living. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I don't blame the guys. I blame Barry Bonds or Mark McGwire if they started doing that, you know, 10 years into their careers, because they were already great players.
Closer to home, the Astros this year, can they turn it around at all?
They can, because they did it last year and the year before. But you'd think the probability is that a miracle finish like that might come along once a decade or something. And it seems unlikely that it could happen 3 years in a row. But Roger Clemens makes a qualitative difference in the starting rotation. They're still not going to make it unless they get the kind of work out of the bullpen that they got last year in the second half from Quals Wheeler and Lidge. But given Roger, Ensberg comes back and hits a little bit. The guy they just acquired from the Devil Rays starts putting up some numbers like he did there. Yeah, it's possible. I would say unlikely, but possible.
I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. And I think your book is wonderful for both casual fans and real in-depth stat heads. It's a fun read, that's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you, Nathan, it's been fun talking to you, because this is, I think, the first interview that I've had that somebody hasn't beleaguered me with the obvious errors in my judgment and told me who should have been playing right field or second base. It's been pleasant spending some time with you, and come down and see us in Houston more often.